Welcome to Conversations Live. For more than a decade, we've brought you the best in books, entertainment, celebrity interviews, and current events. When the movers and shakers of the world have something to say to you, they say it to us first. Now celebrating 17 years of broadcasting success, here's your host, Cyrus Webb.
And welcome back, everyone, to Conversations Live. I'm your host, Cyrus Webb. Glad you all could join us once again, both for our radio audience here in Mississippi, as well as our online audience around the world. We're glad that you all could tune in as well. We're excited to welcome Frank Martella to our program today. Frank is not only an individual who's been respected because of his work as a scholar and philosopher, but he's the author of a book I had a chance to read called A Wonderful Life, Insights on Finding a Meaningful Existence. We'll talk to Frank not only about the life observations he's able to make in the book, but also the lessons I think that all of us can be able to learn, to be able to appreciate life, to be able to make it more fulfilling, as well as, of course, to appreciate the things right in front of us. If you guys have not heard about Frank's book, of course, we'll let you know how to get your own copy of it. But Frank, thank you so much for the time. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks for the invitation. It's great to be here.
Well, Frank, again, the book is called A Wonderful Life, a great way of being able to get some insights into your own life, Frank, but also I think some great observations for all of us. What has it been like for you, Frank, to see the early response to the book?
So, of course, like the timing of the book was a bit like strange because, of course, it came out in like late March, and of course the world was like turning upside down at that moment. So it came to quite a different world than I was expecting when I wrote it like some 1 year ago. For example, the title, A Wonderful Life, it sounded a very good title like 1 year ago, but like, I guess if I would have known that it would come out just in the middle of the coronavirus, I would have called it perhaps like something else, because A Wonderful Life sounded a bit kind of like that. It rang the wrong tone in the middle of a crisis.
Yeah, I totally get what you're saying. But I will say this, though, Frank, because it is out now the way that it is, I think there is a certain appreciation, though, that comes from this book. So I want to talk about you and your and the way you've looked at life, because I love the fact that even, you know, being able to look for the small things that we as human beings are able to do, but also, of course, just the idea that we're here. Have you always been a person who's kind of lived in awe of the world and of yourself?
I guess like to a certain degree, yeah, but like, I guess like I've kind of like gone through the same path that I kind of like described in the book, that like the first kind of like the existential dread and like the feeling that like life doesn't have any meaning has like kind of like put me down, and then learning slowly to like appreciate that actually the meaningfulness of life doesn't come from like, you know, this grand big meaning of life like things, but more from these small everyday moments, being able to experience meaningfulness as part of your everyday life. I think that's something I myself also learned throughout the years, and that's kind of like one of the key lessons I want to give out in the book.
Yeah. I love the fact that you talk about the shift that we kind of in when it comes to life. You call it basically being temporal. For those who have the print edition of the book, on page 27, this is what you wrote that I thought was really interesting that I made a note of. As a temporal being, you inhabit a body that ages, gets sick, and will eventually die and disintegrate. Death isn't the sole purview of intemperance, however. The very nature of life itself, our physical, emotional, and intellectual well-being is temporal. Everything changes and shifts from one moment to the next. And when I read that line, I thought it was so interesting because a lot of times people will find a difficulty in life, Frank, and they kind of stay with that. Later on in the book, you kind of talk about even, you know, the little things like a child. You know, you even you drew on your own experience of a child doesn't just continue to crawl with encouragement. They get up, they start to walk. What is it like for you to kind of observe that shift in life and the possibilities that come with those shifts?
Yeah. So I guess, like, yeah, many of us, like, try to stick with the idea that, you know, that life goes on forever, and kind of like we don't want to accept the fact that, you know, things are changing and our life has a beginning and an end. And I think that kind of like many, even like all the like ancient thinkers, like Stoic philosophers, were already like emphasizing that through accepting the temporality of life, accepting that, you know, that life is kind of like moving all the time, and through accepting the things that we can like influence, we can actually come to appreciate more the small moments in life, and come to appreciate more that life is going on, and we have to just enjoy whatever life puts forward for us.
So you talked about, again, about when you wrote this book. I mean, what was it that was the initial idea that led you to say, I wanted to write a book like this, Frank?
One of the moments was when I got interested, because I had studied the the philosophy and the psychology of the topic of meaning for quite a long time already. But a few years ago, I got interested more in the history of the topic. I started who were the first people who were actually talking about this question of meaning? And when I investigated the matter, I found out that actually it's quite much more recent question than I had thought before. It's actually the whole phrase meaning of life was only coined in 1834 by this Scottish author Thomas Carlyle. So that was one of the revelations that I felt there's something interesting happening here, and that's one of the moments when I felt that I need to write a book about the topic.
I think there's also another thing that comes up in the book that you talk about that I've always kind of seen myself as an optimistic person, Frank, and I encourage our audience to be able to look, past where they are and think about what's possible. You wrote this on page 108 of the book. I thought this was interesting for us to talk about when you talked about the self-determination theory. And I love that because you said this, it's based on the simple idea that humans are inherently curious, self-motivated, and growth-oriented beings who not only respond reactively to environmental stimuli, but also actively self-regulate their lives toward growth and integrity following their internal motives, goals, and value. In a word, humans are active. Is that one of the things you hope people think about, the fact that even in a year like 2020, where so many things seem to be stopped, that we can continue, we can keep moving forward, and we can find a path forward if we want to?
Yeah, and this self-determination theory, that's one big, if I want to talk about the scientific theories behind the book, that's probably the one key theory that I draw most from. And I have the pleasure to collaborating quite much with one of the founders of this theory, Professor Richard Ryan. And he said that when they were coming up with the theory, they met with quite much resistance from the psychological community, because the wisdom of the day was that human beings are more reactive, that we react to the environmental stimuli and then we do something. But the idea that humans have this inherent growth tendency, humans want to be active, they have things that they value and want to do, that was not part of the psychological consensus at the moment. So that theory, I think, has helped us change our self-perception quite much within the psychological community and also the broader world. And I think that in a crisis like this, one of the key takeaways is that even though there's many things that we cannot influence in a situation like this, whatever I do, the second wave or the third wave of the virus might come or not come into my city and into my country. So that's not something I can influence. But still, we can even though that's something that we just have learn to accept, that there's things happening in the world that we cannot influence. There's no point of ruminating about those things. But at the same time, there's always some circle of things that I can still influence. There's some things that I can make better. It might be just that my own life, or it might be just the life of me and my loved ones, my family. But there's always something I can do to make things better. And because of that, we should always try to figure out what are the things that are still in our own control, and then take an active role in making those things better. I think that's one of the things that we should try to concentrate on in a crisis like this, to remain sane and remain active.
Did you know going into the book, Frank, that A Wonderful Life was not only going to look at science and look at history, but also take a look at yourself? Did you know that going in, or was it something that evolved with the book?
I guess it probably evolved with the book. When I was talking with the editor, they always loved the passages where I told something about myself. So then I wrote more about those topics. So I put probably more of myself into the book than I initially planned. I probably would have more just talk about this from a more impersonal perspective in the beginning. But yeah, in the end, there's like quite many stories from my own life, which like through which I try to illustrate some of the key points of the book.
Yeah. I think what that really comes to life for me, the reason why I asked the question, Frank, is when you're talking about going on the bike ride with your son and how you talked about bike riding being something that you already had a passion for, a love for,
yeah.
But then to be able to have that moment of sharing. I want to actually read what you said when you were talking about that, which I thought was such a great way for us to look at life and to look at those small things like that. You said, for those who have the print edition of the book on page 162, I was also proud and happy as a father to have been able to offer this adventure to my son and took delight in the joy and excitement our mutual trip awakened in him, which enhanced my feeling of contribution, past, present, and future, self-expression, mastery, belonging, and contribution. What more could one ask for as regards meaning in life? So I think, you know, a lot of times when people think about even the title of the book, A Wonderful Life, or even meaning in life, Frank, they might think about a goal, right? This big thing, you know, being,
yeah,
you know,
yeah.
that life will have meaning when I'm debt-free or when I'm living here or have this job. I felt like when I finished the book, it really is finding moments like that. Being able to appreciate where you can fully be connected and present, but also realize that the lasting impact as that had on you. Is that kind of also what you hope people take away from the book, to kind of reimagine what a wonderful life looks like for them?
Yeah, I think that's one of the key takeaways from the book, one of the key messages I had there. So kind of like that, even though it's like, it's great to have goals as part of your life that they can like energize us, and I always great to have like something to do during your days and like strive towards something. But still, I feel that the modern culture is perhaps like too project oriented, that we think about our lives too much as projects with like some, and then we kind of like forget to live in the moment. We only concentrate on that thing that we are like trying to achieve at some point in the future. So we are kind of like living in the anticipation that the future will finally bring us to the kind of like satisfaction that we are looking for, and then when we finally arrive there, it might be that we never arrive there, but even if we arrive there, we might like realize that, hey, life is actually not so different now that I achieved this grand goal of mine that I have sacrificed everything for the last 20 years. And because of that, it's kind of like important that we also remember, like, you know, that embrace these everyday moments, because I think most of the things that are meaningful in our lives don't take place in the future, but actually take place in the here and now. So that's why I wanted to bring up these like these various examples of these like here and now moments of meaningfulness, like the moment when I was like riding the bike with my son, because as I try to argue in the book, the meaningfulness kind of comes quite much out of, you know, connecting with other people and connecting with yourself. And in a moment like that, when you're able to do something that you love doing with somebody you love, I think that's already a recipe for like very meaningful moment.
Right. What a great point. So I mentioned, of course, for me, what have been some of the highlights, Frank. I mean, what was your hope when you finished the book? And now, of course, that's available for us to take. What do you hope that people take away from A Wonderful Life?
I guess we already like, touched upon like a couple of the key points about, you know, being able to embrace the small everyday moments that usually make our life meaningful. And I guess like one key takeaway is also like these four pathways that I'm kind of like talking about in the latter part of the book. That what are like the four key pathways through which I think we usually get this meaningfulness from, and which I also like, you know, have done some scientific research on, trying to show that they actually increase our sense of meaningfulness. So like, as I already mentioned, that, you know, this connecting with others and connecting with oneself is kind of like one way of putting it. So connecting with others about, you know, having these close relationships, having people you love and who love you, and being able to like spend time with them. Because even though when we reflect on the topic, we usually realize that, hey, what makes my life meaningful are these other people around me. But sometimes we like forget to invest enough time into these relationships of ours. We have like too many projects going on. We have too long work days and other things going in the way. And because of that, we spend actually less time with the people we love that we actually would want to spend and and what would be like good from the point of view of our own well-being and from the point of view of our sense of meaningfulness. So remember to put time into our relationship is one key message of the book. Another is like about this sense of contribution, being able to somehow positively influence the life of other people, feeling that I'm somehow able to make an impact, somehow positively touch other people. When we have these moments, and they again can be like, you know, they can be big or small. They can be about, you know, feeling that through my work I'm able to make the world a better place or help clients. But it can be also this small everyday moment, helping my family, doing the dishes so that my spouse doesn't have to do them. It can be, you know, helping the man on the street or whatever, like small or bigger ways when we feel that we're able to contribute, that usually brings quite much meaningfulness to our own life. Well,
yeah, really good points. And there are so many, I think, but I think that's what makes a book like this, definitely timing, even in spite of the challenges that we are already facing. I think it does definitely helps us to look at those challenges and appreciate the things that we have. I think that's one of the things. Appreciation is so big. Again, everyone, Frank Martella has been our guest. The book is A Wonderful Life, Insights on Finding a Meaningful Existence. It's available through our friends at Amazon.com. You guys can get it there or through your favorite local bookstore. Frank, how can our audience stay connected with you?
So I'm like available in the usual social media, like on Twitter, on Facebook, and I have like my own homepage is at frankmartella.com. So there's like many ways to connect with me through those media.
Okay, so make sure you guys take advantage of that. Frank, thank you so much again for the time. I really appreciate it, and looking forward to having you back on the program again.
Yeah, thanks for a great conversation.
Thank you. I appreciate that. And we thank your audience for tuning in to another great segment of Conversations Live. Until next time, I'm your host, Cyrus Webb, saying, as always, enjoy your day, enjoy your life, enjoy your world. Thank you all for choosing Conversations Live today. Let's make it a great one.